She wasn't aware that she now lay on a metal table, with only a thin white sheet covering her naked body. The cell was cold and pitch black. She was alone. A weird, abrasive swirling noise cut through the silence, getting louder and louder as bursts of freezing cold vapor shot out from every direction. There was no need for wires. Embedded in the walls, sensors and transmitters, sending pulses of electricity into the mind, stimulating the neural pathways of the brain. Alice opened the front door of her flat. "Hello," she beamed. "Glad you could make it." "Thanks for the invitation," replied Pam. "It's so great to see you," said Alice, standing aside and letting her in. "Go through," she told her. Music was filling the flat, and in the living room, guests mingled. "And where's your new man?" asked Pam, looking around the room. I'm not sure," said Alice, also taking a look around the room that had her artwork adorned on the walls. "Maybe he's getting a drink. He'll pop up in a moment, I'm sure."
"Can't wait," enthused Pam.
"So, how's the new job?"
"Oh, it's great. You settled into teaching?"
"Yeah, it's not as bad as you'd think. The children are lovely."
"Are they interested in history?"
"They are when I jazz it up," the girls laughed.
"Oh," spluttered Alice.
"There he is," she said, yanking at her boyfriend as he entered the room.
"Hello."
"Pam, this is Eddie," said Alice.
"Hi," said Pam, holding out her hand.
"Nice to meet you," replied Eddie, shaking her hand.
"Do you want a drink?"
"Oh, yes, please."
"Sorry, I didn't offer you one," blustered Alice.
"It's okay. I'll have a wine, please."
"Red, white?"
"White, please, thanks."
Eddie gave Alice a kiss on the cheek and headed toward a table in the corner that was holding a considerable amount of bottles.
"Well, he's a bit of a dish, isn't he?" cooed Pam.
"Yeah," said Alice, eyeing up her man.
"And you said he's a singer?"
"Yeah, he's in a rock and roll covers band. Very good money, but he hopes to do his own stuff soon."
Eddie returned with a glass of wine for Pam.
"Thanks," said Pam, taking the glass.
"Oh, is that Harry?" she asked.
"Yeah, it is. He did ask after you."
"Right. Well, if you excuse me."
"Good luck," enthused Alice.
Pam made her way through the throng.
"She fancies him," Alice told Eddie.
"All right. Are you okay?" he asked.
"Yeah, I'm sure I invited someone else."
"Oh? Who's that?"
"I can't remember."
"Great party, Alice," grinned Chan, necking the remains of a beer from its bottle.
"Thanks," said Alice, giving Chan a smile.
"Ah, you look very pale," she said.
"Yeah," added Eddie, "you look a little dead on your feet," to which the whole room burst out laughing.
Chan nodded, accepting he was the butt of the joke.
"I guess I am," he announced. "Today really killed me."
Everyone again started laughing.
"Ah, Chan," said Alice, shaking her head.
"Well, I think you're dead lucky to be here," said Eddie, to more maniacal laughter.
"Okay, okay," mumbled Chan. "Have fun at the only dead guy in the room."
"Don't be too nasty to Chan. It's not his fault he was murdered."
"Well, if you'll excuse me, I think I better get some more bottles of wine from the fridge," said Alice, spotting the wine supply looking low on the drinks table.
"Do you need any help?" asked Eddie.
"Nah, I'll be fine," replied Alice, trotting out into the hallway.
At the entrance to the kitchen, Alice reached for the light switch and flicked it on. The bulb sparked and then blew out, which made her jump. Undeterred, and with the darkness of the kitchen seeping in behind her, she moved forward to the fridge that was underneath the dark marble worktop. She opened the fridge. The appliance's internal lighting illuminated the room. Inside, a wall of miniature red telephone boxes lined each shelf of the fridge. She started to move them, but as she did so, another would take the place of the one she moved. This continued for a few minutes, until a clown burst through the boxes, shrieking, laughing madly whilst holding a red and white bottle of wine in each hand. Alice flew back in shock, shaking with fear. The clown continued to gloat and pulled the corks from the bottles with his teeth and began to drink, raising both bottles and draining the contents into his painted mouth that soon overflowed. Regaining her composure, Alice managed to slam the fridge door shut, drowning the kitchen once again in darkness. She became aware that there was no party anymore, no sound. It was just her in the black. She realized how alone she was, cut off from everybody and everything. There was no exit.
Get in there. Deliverance for you will begin soon enough. Look forward to it.
We meet at last, Doctor. If you're watching for the guards, then they have one posted at the end of the tunnel at all times.
Where's Alice?
They took her. I don't know where.
I hope for your sake I find her before...
Before what?
Why did you come to this planet?
Just at random.
At random? How unfortunate.
What's going on here?
Why don't you tell me your story first?
Do we have time? We have to escape.
Yes, there's time. Time enough for you to elaborate on what the Eklons told me.
Which was?
You're a bounty hunter. You look Pluthin.
I am.
And you were hunting me in the monk's TARDIS, who you've also destroyed?
Correct, Doctor.
Why?
I was contracted on Flua, in a seedy bar. My reputation must have preceded me.
You kill for a living. You kill for a living. Who hired you?
I didn't know his name. He told me about the Time Lords. How evil they were. And that he'd wanted them gone from the universe.
And you believed him?
Why shouldn't I? And the money was...
Money? You disgust me.
I'm not sure what to believe now.
It doesn't matter. Damage has been done.
But the TARDIS. We can go back in time. Change things.
Doesn't work like that.
Why not? You can put things right. If you don't, I will. I can change everything, so none of this will ever happen.
It has happened, and you will never touch a TARDIS again.
So what is going on?
Cybermen.
Report, Clark.
Sentinels have detained the three subjects and have issued them into cells.
Were they escaped laborers?
Confirmed.
The scum, they'll regret their disobedience.
Confirmed. Oh.
What is it, Clark?
The Sentinels report...
Yes, what is it?
The Sentinels, who detained the three untagged subjects, report that one is not a laborer.
Not a laborer? From the construction division, then?
No, he's claiming not to be from this planet.
An alien? Like the principal?
Not the same race as the principal. He calls himself the Doctor.
What did you say?
The Doctor.
The Doctor. The Doctor.
What is it, Executive?
It could be nothing, but the principal has mentioned a doctor before.
Really?
Yes, he seems to be... I shall inform the principal.
Confirmed.
Principal?
Yes?
One of our sentinels have picked up a person, not from this world, calling himself the Doctor.
The Doctor? The Doctor? Have him brought to me immediately.
Clark, dispatch a sentinel to get the Doctor.
Confirmed.
And begin deliverance to the two newly acquired escaped laborers.
Yes, Executive.
Cybermen? What are Cybermen?
You don't want to know.
I do.
They're your worst nightmare, a race of emotionless beings with only one purpose, for you to be like them.
But we can defeat them.
We?
I want to help. Maybe I was wrong. What I've done.
The Cybermen don't stop. They never stop. And they don't get tired. You say there is a guard?
Yes. You can just make out his form in the darkness.
I have to be careful then.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to take off my shoe like this. And I'm going to pop open this secret compartment in the bottom and remove this.
What is it?
My spare sunk screwdriver. That sentinel rudely destroyed my other one. Now I can open this door. Goodbye.
I'm coming with you.
If you must.
What do you mean the Doctor has escaped?
The Sentinel was killed. I have a detachment of Sentinels searching.
Keep me informed. You better hope he does not escape in his time machine.
His time machine?
He is a Time Lord!
Sentinels have found a box in the tunnels.
That is it! His craft! Bring it to my chamber at once!
Confirmed, Principal.
Where are you going, Executive?
To search for this doctor. If he is not found, then you'll be reading Deliverance to me.
Yes, Executive.
What have they done to David?
I don't know. But there was nothing of David left. What did the doctor call them? Cybermen?
His face. There was no life, and all those tubes coming out of his body.
Now we know what they've been doing to all those they've taken, turning them into monsters.
And now what?
I don't know.
We'll become like them, won't we?
It's getting darker in the cell.
It's just like the shaman in the camp said.
What did he say?
That the walls disappear, and then the noises start. That you will scream and cry before the end.
I'm sure it's going to be fine.
I don't think so.
Welcome.
Who's that? Where's that voice coming from?
Who are you?
You might be asking questions. I cannot answer you. Soon you will be separated forever. That's right. You will never see each other again. Say your goodbyes before everything you know is stripped away. You exist only to serve the principal now.
No! No!
This is the TARDIS. The Doctor's time ship.
Yes, Principal.
Such a strange design for such a powerful machine.
I agree, Principal.
Of course you do. Ah.
The door is open.
How careless, Doctor. Look! Assemble the detachments and deploy them into the craft.
But there isn't enough space.
I think you'll find there is.
I don't believe it.
What you believe is irrelevant.
Of course, Principal.
Deploy the detachment clerk immediately. Now, all I need is the doctor to pilot the craft.
You requested my presence, Executive.
Yes. Were you followed into the tunnels?
No, Executive.
Good. I don't take this decision lightly, but I think now is the time.
Executive?
Send the word.
The word?
Yes, the doctor is here.
These tunnels all look the same.
I tried to take note of the directions the guard brought out to the cell, but we seemed to walk for miles.
I can well believe that. These tunnels have been mined to extract the natural metal. They've been using it to make new limbs for the poor people who've been turned into Cybermen.
That's horrible. What was that?
Company, better turn the sonic off. Now, no dramatics until we know who or what is coming, and if it's a Cyberman, your kung fu won't work.
Here they come.
Don't move!
Okay, take it easy.
You are the doctor?
Yes.
The principal speaks your name in trepidation.
Really?
He says you are a Time Lord. He fears you.
Maybe right too.
It is amazing that you're here. We've been waiting some time for this moment, for an opportunity like this.
You have?
Yes, ever since your name was first mentioned by the principal in such disdain.
Who are you?
My name is Executive Charlong.
You're an executive.
You've heard of us?
I was told about the ruthless tyranny you exact over your own people.
I had no choice.
There's always a choice.
No, not here. If I didn't do my duty, get into a position of responsibility, the insurgents wouldn't have formed as it had.
You're a rebel.
What are you doing?
Sending the final word. The word is freedom.
Too soon. You don't know what you're facing.
Maybe, but now we have you, the principal's foe, on our side.
If you waited this long, you should be willing to wait a little longer.
You should strike.
How surprising that you should think that. Charlong, what are you doing to these people? How are they changed into Cybermen?
Cybermen?
I'm guessing that's what your principal is. Does he look like those converted humans?
Yes, a little more advanced, though. We don't have the technology that the principal was used to.
What do you do to them?
The cells are lined with devices. They're called neural stimulators.
I see.
They attack the brain slowly, inducing madness into the mind, leaving the subject person...
like an empty, emotionless cadaver.
Then the mind is reconditioned so it knows just logic and survival. Then...
what?
Then the surgery. It's so primitive, but...
but?
The principal calls them improvements. The humanoid physique is brittle.
Sounds like Cybermen talk.
I'm sorry. It's been so long, it's ingrained in me.
Go on.
Limbs are enhanced with the metal excavated by the laborers. It's pliable, yet so strong. Senses are heightened by microchips.
And the end product is a Cyberman that doesn't sleep, doesn't eat, and only knows logic and the need for survival. And there are a couple of 100,000 armed and ready to attack and convert millions to be like them.
What about the B-teams, then? What the gods do to the women?
It's all part of the dehumanization process.
Doctor, we've got to get out of here.
We're staying.
But the TARDIS.
Is that your ship?
Yes.
He has it. Sentinels located the box in the tunnels.
Oh no, that means he has potentially the whole of time and space at his disposal. Your world will never be free whilst the Cybermen thrive. This world will be the first of many when my TARDIS heal. They'll quickly conquer galaxy after galaxy. It would never end until every humanoid is like them.
I know. Doctor, I must take you to the principal.
No, I need to find my friend Alice.
Who? I don't know subjects' names, just numbers.
You put us in the cell together.
You're one of the untagged individuals. You're the aggressive one.
Sounds about right.
That means your friend has been transferred to the intense processing cells. Her mind was very fragile. Almost the perfect case for reconditioning.
We must get to her now.
There's a sentinel coming.
This could be it.
Quick! You're free! We're all free!
What?
The revolution is here! Ah! Run!
It's them!
You will be like us.
Come on!
Principal.
Yes, clerk?
I'm receiving reports.
Yes, I know. A small group of around 2,000 insurgents are attempting to strike against me. A detachment of Cybermen has already been dispatched to crush them.
I can't contact Executive Charlong, Principal.
Charlong has revealed himself to be a traitor. An insurgent.
I don't.
He must be eliminated and the doctor brought to me.
Yes, Principal.
Find the doctor, Executive Gable.
Yes, Principal.
They're still coming.
Come on.
I can't keep going. I'm too weak.
Get down.
You will.
You two okay?
Yes, we are now.
Where did you come from?
We heard your screams in the Cybermen. Are you sure you're okay?
Who are they?
I'm an executive.
Executive?
He's on your side. How did you escape?
A sentinel released us before they killed him.
The word is spreading.
Yes, and the Cybermen are now on the march.
And her?
She's...
a prisoner like you.
She's the one who kidnapped my friend, who I must be getting to.
But Doctor, I must take you to the principal.
Sir, resistance is futile. All is lost.
How can that be?
Like I said, it was too soon. You don't know what you're dealing with. Now take me to Alice.
I need to take you to the principal.
Charlong, I'd put money on him knowing you're part of this ill-thought rebellion. Now I must get Ella. She's my priority.
Oh, very well, this way.
Principal, the revolt has been crushed. The Cybermen are unstoppable.
For a humanoid, you sound like a Cyberman.
I seek your power.
In due time, you will become like us. Executive Gable.
It would be an honor, sir.
Ensure loyal sentinels are in place and ensure all Cybermen are aboard the TARDIS. You will be in charge whilst we conquer.
I am truly honored.
Now, where is the doctor? I must have the doctor!
Alice's eyes were wide open, but she was more comatose than awake. She was sitting cross-legged, a white light shining down upon high whilst all around her was dark. From out of that blackness, a face she had seen earlier, a cold, featureless face, smooth, metal, black holes for eyes. She wasn't fearful, rather the peacefulness of the face seemed appealing. She raised her hands and held the outline of the face. Her eyes closed, then opened again. She moved the mask. It turned in her hands, and shrunk as she placed it over her own features. Inside herself, she instantly became at peace. Her emotions tamed, now quiet, her mind at rest. She felt focused. She felt she had purpose. She stood and found that the rest of her body had been transformed. Her limbs were silver. They were stiffer and they were stronger. Her torso was also covered in the silver metal her pathetic weak body had been moulded into an upgraded one. Her new appearance made her feel safe. Powerful. She would defeat her human weaknesses, avoid decay and death, maybe live forever. She felt an overwhelming desire, an overwhelming need to tell others about the peace she now had. It would be in their best interest to be like her. No pain, no sorrow, no death, no emotions, only survival, survival of the fittest. And if others wouldn't listen, she'd make them like her. The thing that was Alice Morgan looked up. A man was standing in front of her. She felt a flicker of recognition from a tiny part of her quickly dying human, illogical brain.
Alice, can you hear me?
Is this what happened to David?
David?
He was taken from us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please, be quiet. Alice, can you hear me? Place my hands on your head. Let me see what you see. Hear me, Alice. Hear my voice.
Alice found herself back at the party, in the midst of talking, laughter, and music. "Hey, babe, you've changed," said Eddie. "Yes," said Alice coldly. "I didn't realize this was a fancy dress party," he added. "You look like the Tin Man from Wizard of Oz. Well, a hacked-up version of him." Alice ignored him and looked around the room. She was sure she invited someone else. Soon she had her guests lined up, each taking his or her turn set on the CD, and she placed masks like hers on them. As she did so, she was aware of a ringing, the front doorbell. She ignored it and continued until Chand asked her if she was going to answer it. He told her, "but I'm dead tired," which made everyone laugh, except those who were now like her. Alice opened the front door to her flat. Alice opened her eyes in the cell. The raising of her lids corresponded to the swinging open of the door. Alice saw the doctor. They both embraced him.
"Oh, doctor!"
"Alice, I don't believe it!"
"Who are these people? Where are we? What's happening?"
"Be calm, Alice."
"Oh, my head."
"Take it easy."
"Ruth, find us some clothes."
"Yes, doctor."
"Alice, just rest. There'll be plenty of time for explanations. You're going to have to stay here. You all must. It's time I confronted your principal."
"Who? You can't go alone."
"Alice, rest."
"I'll come with you."
"No, just me."
"You'll need me to show you the way."
Yes, okay."
"And I'm coming whether you like it or not. You don't tell me what to do."
"If you must, but I'm not going to be responsible for you. You've seen the danger."
"Fine. I'll look after myself."
"We will stay here, doctor, and look after your friend."
"I'm fine."
"You've been through a terrible experience."
"Alice, I promise I'll be back."
"You better."
"Is she okay?"
"She's just been through hell. Look after her."
"We will."
"Okay, let's go."
"Sir, I have the doctor."
"Shalom, you traitor! Eliminate him, Executive Gable."
"Executive Gable?"
"Your replacement."
"Don't move, Shalom."
"For freedom!"
"No, don't."
"Remove his worthless body, Gable."
"Yes, Principal."
"We meet at last, Doctor."
"Yes, I can at last end this horror show. Oh, and Principal is a rather grand moniker, isn't it?
Titles are not important. Only servitude to the cyber will. My name is Vash.
All right. Thought you might have had a sense of humor, that's all. Well, Cyberman Vash, you look like you just come straight out of Mondas in the old days. You're not modern and sleeping like some. How did you end up here?
Your observation is correct. I was a doctor. A scientist.
You remember your life?
I recall pain. Weakness. They must be eradicated. They hinder progression.
Cybermen are nothing but walking corpses, a mishmash of metal microchips and fluids, pumping through plastic veins, supplying nutrients to any remaining organic matter that may be left under that silver skin.
And how fortunate that when my spacecraft crashed, there was a waiting populace, and a source of metal that is so strong yet so workable for my needs.
But you didn't have the technology to forcefully convert people.
I used my knowledge of the psychology to break and recondition minds. Being cybertized brings freedom.
If you say so. You didn't say how you got here.
I was sent into space in an attempt to reach beyond our planet. But the craft malfunctioned. My damaged ship drifted aimlessly through space. All I could do for thousands of years was listen. I heard everything, but was unable to communicate. I heard about cyber wars and time wars. And you, our greatest enemy, always trying to halt our survival. And here you are now, with the very means for us, a new cyber race.
How many are there?
200 clinical divisions. Each are trying to convert more cases than the other. This ensures productivity levels.
Cases. People, you mean?
You will make an excellent case.
You can't break my mind.
Executive Cable, is the TARDIS ready to leave?
Yes, Principal.
You see, we have your ship, Doctor, and on board hundreds of thousands of Cybermen.
It's a phone box.
Yes. As described through hundreds of cyber communique. A phone box.
My TARDIS. How did you get in?
You helpfully left the door open.
I did, didn't I?
You will pilot that TARDIS for your friends in the cell. Yes, I know about your friends, Doctor. They will die.
If you have the whole of time and space at your disposal, you'll be unbeatable.
Of course. Now, lead me into your ship and I will lead a new cyber race to victory.
I think all those years alone have driven you mad.
I can fly that TARDIS.
No, don't. You can't.
Is this correct?
Yes.
Very well. You will pilot the craft. Principal Gable, you are in charge until my triumphant return. Ensure the Doctor and his friends are given extreme deliverance from their minds.
Yes, Principal.
To the craft.
Maya, you can't. With the TARDIS, they'll take over the universe. Race after race turned into emotionless...
Silence!
I won't let this happen.
You are powerless against the will of the cyber race. I cannot think of a better end for you, a man of the stars, than to be trapped on this rock.
Maya, don't do it.
Doctor, cower down as you behold the beginnings of a new cyber empire.
Maya.
Goodbye, Doctor. I'm sorry about Chan. And there's a bird on your tail.
I will return when we have conquered and acquired more advanced and faster cyber conversion instruments.
I will stop this.
You are weak. when I return, you will be like us.
How dare you resist the principal, Doctor? I'll tell him I had to kill you because you tried to escape.
Alice,
these weapons have quite a kick to them.
Sorry, Doctor, she wouldn't stay put.
Are you okay?
I am now, thanks.
Where are they gone?
Maya is piloting the TARDIS.
I knew it!
It's the monk's TARDIS, not mine.
Do you know where they're going?
Yes, I can track them on the scanner over there. Here we go, right, where are they? Got them. Oh, wait, what's she doing?
What is she doing?
She's materialing the TARDIS in the center of a dead sun. There it goes. I'm gonna feel the aftershock.
She sacrificed herself.
And wiped out the Cybermen. And she said sorry.
Sorry?
For Chand.
So we're free? The Cybermen are gone?
Yes. It's over. Just like that.
I don't believe it.
Hopefully you'll find those who are loyal to Vash, the principal. We now embrace freedom, now fear has gone. Oh, and I can show you something while we're here at the scanner.
What?
The surface of your planet.
It's beautiful.
It looks untouched, all that green.
And look, another sun, reignited by the explosion. Three suns. You're going to get great suntans.
Suntans?
Finally, we have a world. We could begin a new life.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Thank you for everything, Doctor. There will be no more slavery, thanks to you, Doctor.
Anyway, we must be going. Good luck.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye, Doctor. And thank you again.
Well, at last we, our people, have a new world.
A new life.
This planet needs a new name.
How about naming after the ship that brought our ancestors here?
Perindia?
Alice, how are you feeling?
Not too good. Awful, actually.
I'm sorry about...
Doctor?
Yes?
What about Chan?
He's gone, Alice. I returned just after you were taken.
You can't leave his body in 1972! What about his family?
There's nothing I could do, Alice. His body, it was atomized. Maya's fired a slow-release charge. She wanted me to find him so that I'd know that she'd taken you. And that I'd follow. There is nobody.
My...
Alice, can I say? I've been from one corner of the universe to the other, seen so much.
Chan's not going to see anything. You can go back, now. Change things.
I can't do that, Alice. You know how delicate timelines are. Me crossing my own time stream would mean I'd become part of events that have already happened. Believe me, that isn't an option.
What about his family? They'll never know.
Alice, I can't change. You have to understand. Life is so fragile. What we're doing, this life, yes, it can be wonderful. No one else is doing what we're doing. But with that comes danger. This isn't a fairground ride. Chand knew that. Think of all the things we've done, though. The adventures we've had and how close sometimes we came to, well, losing everything.
I know. I think I need to be alone. This has all been too much.
Yes, of course. You've been through a hideous experience. How about I take us somewhere nice and...
No, Doctor. I want to go home. What's happening?
Something with tremendous energy flying through the vortex. We're caught in it.
Doctor!
Hold on. We're gonna have a bumpy landing.
Doctor! Yeah!